Well, here we are. We're back once more on the Fall Jokerman podcast, and it's Marky Smith's birthday.
Whatever better way to celebrate it than a reappraisal of their most unjustly maligned record?
It's me, Evan, and John is here as well, as you can see. Is it their most unjustly maligned album? I guess we can talk a little bit about, I think, the barest concept of a bad Fall album.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, I mean, it's crappy production, half-assed songs,
right,
and Smith's in a terrible mood, so
yeah.
What else do you need? Obviously, it's a masterpiece. I was just reading some list online where they classified them, every Fall record, all 32 of them, and that came in 32nd, this one, Are You Our Missing Winner, from 2001.
Are You Our Missing Winner. I think that the title is kind of just an affront to a lot of people's sensibilities of, you know, it feels like you're having a stroke when you read it.
Yeah, and the cover's not much help either.
The cover also looks like you're having a stroke. It's, God. Yeah, this feels... It's about as tossed off as something can appear. Everything about it feels like barely any effort was expended.
Yeah.
But I kind of find that charming. I mean, it looks... God, what is on this
cover? Just, I don't know. It's someone's face. It's the most sloppy computer art.
Yeah, I think it's like a photo, a bad photo of a bad computer image of like a photo negative, and then some kinds of like weird flowers or like designs. It could be that this was, I don't know, does it have credits about who did the artwork on here?
I doubt it. It's funny, isn't it? Because it's like after Hex Induction Hour, he put out Room to Live, which everyone was disappointed with. It's a bit like this with The Unutterable. Then everyone thought they were back in form again.
Yeah.
And then they put this out. But I don't think it's any worse or any better. It's just as delightful in its own way.
Well, The Unutterable is kind of, that was from what, in the 90...
Mm. 90, it was directly before
2000.
This one.
It's from 2000. Yeah. And that's a weirdly sprawling and kind of, at times, glossily produced Fall record. Maybe not glossy, but it's definitely...
It's very tight.
It's tight, and it sounds like there's thought and effort put in. There's like... That song Pumpkin Soup and Mashed Potatoes, has like a jazz flute on it. There's Dr. Buck's Letter. I mean, that's great stuff on there.
I love that song about William Blake, too.
Which one's that?
WB.
Oh, is that... Yeah, that makes sense. But, I guess this is kind of the more interesting, on some level, to me, as far as where I am personally with my Fall fandom, in that I guess it feels weird to me. It's like, how is it that people who like the Fall are also people who are like, this is not good, like this one's sloppy and I don't like it for that reason? It just seems antithetical to, if you appreciate what's good about Marky Smith, then like surely you understand that this is par for the course. But I guess not.
Yeah. Well, they were having a bit of a renaissance at that time, weren't they?
Were they?
Just on the verge of it. What was the next one? Country on the Click?
Yes, that one has the whole botched, like, strange sort of double release. Like, it was released as one thing, and then the real new Fall LP re-recorded.
I saw him, by the way, when this record came out at the Shitting Factory.
The Knitting Factory.
Shitting Factory, yeah. Mm. Then Smith did a smoke and word thing, too.
What was it?
He sat at a desk and recited his poetry, or whatever it was. It was quite amusing. Nobody could understand a word he said.
Well, yeah, I can imagine. As you said, he does seem pretty trashed on this one, but...
It was recorded in a couple of days in a recording studio that was situated under a gym.
Right.
Gymnasium, apparently, in Manchester, I guess.
Every time they had somebody drop barbells, there was thumping and crashing above them, and they would have to record something else. Apparently, it was rat-infested, the whole experience being quite unpleasant, and it being recorded very hastily, probably to everybody's relief that it was done quickly. But I think that it was... It apparently originally wasn't even mixed and mastered, it wasn't mastered properly or even at all, and so the tracks had like wildly varying volumes, and it was just kind of tossed together. But one person's tossed together piece of shit album is another person's rustic piece of shit album that has a charm all its own. And I think it's fair to say that you and I fall into that category of deeming this charmingly rustic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are four records we don't love, of course, as much as others.
Well, don't touch that. It's you're fucking with the thing. Yeah. If you have noticed, dear listener, this recording might sound a little bit rustic itself, and that's in keeping with the spirit and has nothing to do with me forgetting the cable to connect the microphone to the computer. I guess, yeah, I mean, we can listen to the record, the CD.
It's actually, no, I've just got it on the streaming service. I kept the CD in my car. I've been listening to it
for the last few days. A great CD to have in the car. I'm looking at the little booklet right now. Look at
the band also. I just thought a bunch of his mates sitting around drinking lager or whatever. It looked like a bunch of meatheads.
It is just a bunch of dudes. It looks like a reunion for a frat house.
Quite an intimidating looking lot, actually.
There are no women to be seen.
Why does this guy get two photographs?
Isn't that...
Is that Ed Blaney?
It might be. Ed Blaney is, I think, kind of like the best friend of Marquis Smith, and as far as I can tell.